Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
To you with praise and thanks, Father, because you are God. There's none higher than you. There's none greater than you. We don't have a blind faith. Our faith is proven by history, by your word. Your Holy Spirit bears witness in our hearts and our souls, our minds. You've drawn us to this great gift that you've given us to have faith and trust in your Son, Jesus. We uplift Jesus' name, Lord, for he is God. He is Savior. There is no hope in man. There's no hope in political parties or governments. There's only hope in you, Jesus. We praise and worship you and thank you that you are our rock, that you are our Redeemer, our strong tower, our refuge, and we can come to you, Lord. And today we come to you, seeking more of you, that we might worship you in spirit and truth, that we'll hear your word being taught today, that you'll be uplifted. We pray for Brother Cal and Billy as they bring forth the word to us, that our ears will be open to hear your word, our eyes will see your word, and we'll leave this place obedient to you, Lord, and to go out into this world to share Jesus. We pray for the Sunday school teachers this morning as they work with the children, and bless them, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for making us your children. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Brother Lee. Jesus Christ is our living hope. Oh, look at somebody and say, do you know him? Can I just share just a quick word with you about the revival meetings that are going on in our city? There's a schedule of the revival meetings. We're meeting somewhere every night in July. Last night, we were at the Tabernacle Missionary Baptist Church on Boot Hill. And, you know, in a lot of times, the black church, they want some preachers up front to encourage the pastor who's doing the preaching. And so they asked me to come up there, you know, and then they had these guys sitting behind us in the choir loft, and the men's chorus began to sing. And I thought I had died and gone to heaven. Have mercy. I want to ask y'all, just get out of your comfort zone a little bit and visit one of these churches because we all need to experience a little bit of what heaven's going to be like in worship. It's not going to be just like this here. It'll be a little something from everywhere. So I was just, you know, I told my sister Susan, when I get to heaven, I'm going to sing with the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. Well, I sang with the men's chorus last night at Tabernacle up on Boot Hill. It was a fantastic night. Anyways, having said that, we're going to continue on in our sermon series this morning. We began that last week in Ezekiel 37 and verse 10. I didn't tell you all this last week, but that's one of the verses God used to call Diana and I home. Because he is going to raise up a vast army for God. That's what that verse was talking about. If you missed it, you can catch the podcast. Paul's usually got that stuff up and running every Sunday afternoon or latest on Monday. So we're going to continue on, and we're going to be in the book of Haggai for the next 3 or 4 weeks. And as you're finding Haggai, how many of you know where Haggai is? Old Testament, 3 books to the left, if you have one of these, of Matthew, okay? Now, if you've got one of those electronic devices, all you got to do ding, and you're there. But we're going to be in Haggai chapter 1 this morning, and I want to talk to you about finishing well. It's how you finish that really counts. You know, it's great to have a good start, amen? But what really counts is finishing well. several years ago, we had a sprinter up in Canada. His name was Ben Johnson. And this guy, it's probably been 20-something years ago. I don't know. Anyways, he was adversaries with Carl Lewis. And Ben Johnson just, he arrived quickly on the scene, and he began to win these 100-meter dashes, and he was proudly proclaimed as the world's fastest human, took Carl Lewis's place, and he was setting world record after world record in the 100-meter dash. And everybody thought, my goodness, he's going to destroy everybody at the Olympics. And then he did. But just a few days after the Olympics, after that great start, Ben Johnson, the big Canadian sprinter, tested positive for steroids. And I don't know if Ben's won another race since then. You see, he didn't finish well. And it is so important to finish well. Finishing well is what really counts. That's what I want to talk to you about this morning. God planted and started this church 4 years and 4 months ago, and what a great start we had. I mean, I think back over those, did y'all know that we were one of the top 100 churches in the state in baptisms this past year? Did y'all know that? Bless God, some of y'all are sitting there like, who cares? Y'all remember the Jesus rally? The rally on the river? Oh, what a glorious week that was. And I remember being up at Summit Heights ministering to those children up there and fixing up the playground and doing all. We've had great mission offerings and great record offerings. And I could go on all, but we've had a good start. But it's not as important. What I want to talk to you about is finishing. Now, y'all can tell by looking at me, I've got more days behind me than I've got ahead of me. I understand that. But I want to finish well, because finishing well is how you finish that really counts. All right, that introduction lasted way too long. Let's all stand as we honor God's word. Haggai, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. Are you with me? Eight of you? All right. Verse 1 of chapter 1 in Haggai says, in the second year of King Darius, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Aren't you impressed that I said those names right? I'm doing good this morning, Billy. Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, this people says, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple, God's house, to lie in ruins? Oh, Father, would you anoint this place with your presence right now? Oh, God, would you help us to consider our ways? Help us, Lord, to experience a heaven-sent, Christ-honoring, devil-fighting, strong preaching, fast-growing revival in our own lives. Oh, God, it really doesn't matter. Well, it does matter how you get started, but what really matters is finishing what you started. Teach us this great truth this morning, Father. And we promise to give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Now, let me quickly give you the background here, because you need to understand where Israel's coming from. Jeremiah 25 prophesied, Jeremiah, years before this ever happened, prophesied that a pagan foreign king and kingdom would overrun Jerusalem. And in 586, that happened. King Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians ransacked Jerusalem, burned the city gates, tore down the walls, destroyed the temple of God. And then those Jewish folks who weren't slaughtered and killed were carried off into slavery. And as Jeremiah 25 prophesied, they had been there 70 years. But Jeremiah 52 also prophesied that one day the Jewish people would be able to go back to Jerusalem after their 70-year captivity. Well, guess what happened in 539 B.C.? Persia took over the Babylonian Empire. And a king by the name of Cyrus decreed in 538 B.C. that it was good if the Jewish people in Babylon wanted to go back home and rebuild their temple. Let me tell you something, folks. God's got the resources. He's got everything we need. And so in 536 B.C., just 2 years later, another king's in charge. His name is Darius. He's over Persia. And he encourages the children of God to leave Babylon and go back home. And you know how many of them went back home to Jerusalem? Now, you're talking about traveling hundreds of miles. 50,000 of them left back. Now, I don't know how many stayed in Babylon, but a lot of people had gotten comfortable in Babylon and making a good living, and they were happy there, and so they stayed there. There's just another sermon for another time right there. But anyways, this group of 50,000 led by Zerubbabel, the governor, the civic leader, and Joshua, the high priest, the religious leader, led them back to Jerusalem. And they get back, and man, it's in shambles. The whole city is a mess. It's kind of like some of those pictures you see, you know, of the Russian invasion of Ukraine. I mean, there was nothing but rubble as far as the eyes could see. The great temple, the center of Jewish life, had been torn down and nothing had been done. And so they began to rebuild. And yet they faced a lot of opposition. Huge building project. Opposition from Samaritans and some Arabs. And then this 50,000, they also had to make a living, right? And so these three things really were working against them. But these 50,000 Jews came back home and they had a passion. They had a zeal to do something great for God. They wanted to rebuild the temple, and they immediately got to work rebuilding the temple. And the first thing they did was they built the altar so that they could have sacrificial services. And that's the first thing they did. They began to offer up all these sacrifices to the Lord. And then they began work on the foundation. And they completed the work on the foundation about a year later. But by then, their zealousness and their passion had begun to ebb because of those three things. Tremendous, unbelievable, huge project the rebuilding effort was going to be. The opposition from others, and then the fact that they had to take care of their needs. And rebuilding the temple, the work ceased. Y'all with me now? And that's 520 B.C. 16 years later. And so King Darius decrees, say, hey, we're with you, we're behind you. And there's historical evidence that guess what? They even helped finance some of this. The Persians did. And on the first day of the month, it's normally when the Jewish people would meet there at that foundational where the temple site was going to be. And they would meet there on the first day of the work of the month and offer up sacrifices. And it was in the middle of that service, while everything was quiet and silent, that the prophet of God spoke up and gave the people of God the word of God. Y'all with me? And basically what Haggai is saying is, our priorities are wrong. Our priorities need to be exposed. And God used Haggai the prophet to bring his word to God's people when they desperately need it. Now, I'm reading between the lines and using my sanctified imagination. I'm imagining Haggai said, you know what, guys? This is a mess. The temple's still in shambles. The city that we live in is still a mess. We haven't finished what we started. It's been 16 years. And you all have the mindset and you're using the excuse, well, now's not the right time to rebuild. How many of you have heard an excuse like that before? Let me tell you, I've heard them all. Oh, Pastor, this costs too much money. Oh, Pastor, we can't do that ministry because it's going to take a lot of people. Oh, don't you know the economy's bad? People are getting laid off. Don't you, preacher, don't you know how high gas prices are? Do y'all know what excuses are? They simply reveal where our priorities are. And these people said it's not time to rebuild. Now's just not the right time. And bless God, Haggai, the man of God, began to preach the word of God and says, when is the right time? He said, oh, by the way, I've noticed that you're building paneled houses for yourself. And that's a reference to extravagant living. He said, you're building these exquisite homes and places and interested in pleasure and the pursuit of pleasure while God's house lies in ruins. Are y'all with me? Now, I don't even begin. I just want to ask you. Y'all know me. Bless y'all's heart. I'm too blunt sometimes, but what are your priorities? What's number one? What's number two? And by the way, let me say this. There's nothing wrong with having a beautiful home. If you've got a beautiful home, use it for God's glory. If you've got a nice car, anybody got a 15-passenger van? That's what I didn't think, because you won't let the preacher borrow it. But anyways, it's okay to have nice stuff. It is. But what's wrong is when stuff has you. And these people that we're reading about, the people of God, were more interested in personal pleasures and personal pursuits and the things of that nature rather than what God had called them to do. And they had left laying in the dust what God had called them home to do. 16 years. What are our priorities? What is number one? Who's number one? Now, I can't answer that. But I want to tell you, somebody here needed to hear this morning, or God would not have given this passage of Scripture to me. What are your priorities? What's most important? And by the way, our deacons, our church council, Billy, We've watched and seen people go downhill physically, and I tell you, I've watched a ton of people pass from here, from this life into the next. And you know what? I have never heard anybody that died say something like this. Well, I wished I spent more time at the office. I wished I'd have made more money. Oh, I wished I'd have built this and done that. No, you know what they all say? Oh, I wished I'd done more for the Lord. And by the way, our priorities that we're looking at this morning, now is the time to set those priorities. Right now. Because none of us know what's going to happen tomorrow. Right? And so, as the man of God gets up to preach the Word of God to the people of God, he's basically saying, our priorities are not quite right. We've got to get first things first. Are y'all still with me? Just hang in here with me. I'm not going to leave you bleeding. It's going to get better. Somebody smile, please. All right. Secondly, now watch this. Watch this. Listen to this. Lean in. Look at verse 5. Now, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have, now if this verse, if verse 6 isn't a picture of Clarksville and Montgomery County and our nation, I don't know what is. Listen to this. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat but do not have enough. You drink but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves but no one's warm. And he who earns wages to put into a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up, well, jump down to verse 9. You looked for much, but indeed it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why, says the Lord of hosts, because of my house that is in ruins, while every one of you runs to his own house. Therefore the heavens above you withhold the dew, and the earth withholds its fruit. For I call for a drought on the land and the mountains, on the grain and the new wine and the oil, on whatever the ground brings forth, on men and livestock, and on all the labor of your hands. What the Word of God's telling the people of God is simply this. Our priorities have been exposed, and now your lifestyles need to be examined. And he gives this tremendous litany of stuff. He says, the harder you work, the less you have. The more you sow, the smaller the harvest. The more you eat, the less filled you are. Can't get enough to eat. Can't get enough to drink. Nothing will quench your thirst. And he says, your clothes won't keep you warm. He said, your income does not meet your expenses. There's holes in your wallet. Can anybody hear me? Is that not a picture of what's going on in America anyways today? This is exactly what's going on. And God said, consider your ways. Examine your heart. Examine your lifestyle. What does it look like? And you say, God had been trying to get their attention over and over. He sent a drought. There was a reason that they couldn't get enough to eat. There was a reason. And by the way, the bad weather was due to their bad behavior. And I've had this asked to me over and over and over again. Are we under God's judgment? Well, what do you think? Duh. All these natural disasters. And they're happening more often and more often and more often. There's a reason that we've got drought. There's a reason that there's fires burning up millions of acres. There's a reason we've got tornadic activity and hurricanes and all these natural disasters. There's a reason everything's falling apart. God's trying to get His people's attention. Now, He's waiting on the church, the people of God, to examine our lifestyle. You children and you younger people and you young couples, just take it from the pastor. I grew up in better times when our nation was more Christian than it is today. And I long to see us go back to that. And I'll never apologize for wanting something better for my kids and my grandkids. But let me just tell you, do you know who's going to pay for our sins? It's our children and our grandchildren. Amen. Help us, God. And so he's saying, examine your lifestyle. Are you doing what God called you to do? Are you finishing well? Whatever it is that God's called you to start your ministry, how's that going for you? God wants to get our attention this morning, church. Let me tell you, I love Second Mile Church. I really would. I'd take a bullet for this church. I love y'all. But I want to tell you, we need revival. We need it. We need a great move of God on us. I'm not saying all these other things aren't important. They are. But when they take the place of our passion, when you get up in the morning, what's the first thing you start thinking about? When you go to bed at night, what's the last thing you think about? How do you spend your day? What is it that you're trying to get done? Whatever that is, or whoever that's with, that's what your priorities are. Now, if I didn't love y'all, I wouldn't give you truth like this. It'd be real easy for me to get up here Sunday in and Sunday out and talk about the glories of heaven. You know? But God wants to send revival to our church. And not just this church. And by the way, we're doing better than most. Well, maybe not attendance-wise, but when you look at spiritual markers, we it's not about how you started, it's how you finish. Y'all ready for the good news? Three of you? Y'all, I can stay here forever if you want me to. Y'all ready for the good news? Yeah. Well, what were they supposed to do? What were the people of God? Look at verse 8. Go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the temple, that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord. Here's the third thing that I believe the prophet is saying to the people of God. Obedience needs to be exercised. Watch that. Obedience. You see, they needed to examine themselves in light of the covenant that God had made with His people. Are y'all with me now? I mean, God had made a covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He'd made a covenant with Moses. He'd made a covenant with David. And basically, the covenant was this: you're going to be my people, and I'm going to be your God. You're going to be my representatives and my ambassadors in a pagan world, surrounded by lost, foreign, pagan nations. And you're going to be my representatives, and I'm going to bless you when you're obedient to my commands. And on the other hand, if you disobey me, and you're not obedient to my commands and my word, I'm going to punish you. Amen. And it's blessings or curses, brothers and sisters. Look at verse 12. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, what's that next word? Amen. Obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him. And now watch this, listen to this. And the people feared the presence of the Lord. Amen. Do you know what it means to fear God? There's no fear of God anymore. There's very little fear of God, even in the church. Now, I'm not talking about being scared to death or cowering in fear from God. I am talking about Holy Ghost respect and Holy Ghost, but here's the mile marker, if you will, for whether or not you fear the Lord. It's obedience. Amen. You just do what He tells you to do. And I want to tell you, when God tells us what to do, when He gives us a command, when He gives us His word, and it tells us to do something, we don't negotiate, we don't procrastinate, we don't start looking at the pros and the cons, and we don't look at what's negative and what's positive. We don't vote on it. We just say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Somebody say yes. Yes. That's what He wants to hear. Now watch this. Watch this. In verse 13. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, spoke the Lord's message to the people, saying, now watch this, I am. That's the Hebrew name for God right there. I am with you, says the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, on the 24th day of the sixth month in the second year of King Darius. Just 3 weeks, less than 3 weeks after they heard the word of the Lord, they began work on rebuilding the temple. They said, okay, we've heard from God. Okay, we're going to put God first. Everything else is secondary. And we're going to do what God's called us to do. We're going to finish what we started, because finishing is what really counts. By the way, we've had some wonderful little kids saved this summer. Where's Lexi? You're not asleep on Uncle Cal, are you? All right. This little girl's she's my sweet niece. She's Diana's niece. We love this little girl. And she prayed to receive Christ. She's been wanting to be saved for a while. And so during Vacation Bible School, she gave her heart and her life to the Lord. We baptized her out here on a hot Sunday morning. But can I just tell you, Lexi is just getting started. Salvation's just the beginning. And God has a great plan and a purpose for her life. And bless God, she doesn't need her Uncle Cal to tell her what God's plan and purpose is for her life. He'll tell her. And where does He tell her? Right here. And did you notice that? When real revival came to the people of God, their spirits were stirred up. The high priest spirit, the civic leader, Zerubbabel, his spirit was stirred. And the people of God were stirred, their spirit. Now, I know some of y'all are not emotional, and that's okay. But I want to tell you, whenever you get a fresh touch of Jesus, you just have a bad case of I can't help it, and you want everybody to know. I wish you could have seen your pastor last night. I can't dance and thought I could. Right? And I asked God last night. I said, Lord, I got more days behind me than I've got ahead of me. But You began a good work in my life 50-something years ago. And I want to finish well. And I want to hear those words. Well done. And I also ask Him for God to revive Second Mile Church. Amen. And for all of us to get on the same page and get on track and be what God wants us to be. Remember I told you about that? Ezekiel 37 and verse 10, that Ezekiel was supposed to preach under the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit to the people of God, so that the Spirit of God would breathe on the people. And what happened? A vast army sprang up. In my study at 4:30 one morning down in Waynesboro, Tennessee, God gave me that verse of Scripture, and He said, I want you to go home, and here's what I'm going to do. And a lot of that depends on whether or not I'm going to be obedient to what God's called me to do. But that's the case for all of us. Enough said. I don't have some slick illustration to close this thing down. But here's what I want to ask you. Do you desire God's best in your life? Do you desire His presence more than anything else? Do you desire His leadership right now? He'll give it to you. If you'll just say, yes, Lord. Yes. Yes. Father, You know me. I'm having trouble landing this plane again. But this is not about me, Lord. This is about You. And what You want out of us. And I don't know exactly what You're calling all of us to do. But I know we're to be reaching people for Christ and teaching people to follow Christ. And we do that by loving You and loving people. So God, I pray for people all over this room that we would sit still no longer, but that You would stir our spirits. And that we would have one rock-ribbed conviction as we leave here today. Whatever else I do, I'm going to serve God first and foremost. He's my numero uno. He's at the top of my list from every day on out. Help me, Lord. In your name I pray. Amen. If you're here this morning and you need revival in your life, it can happen. It can happen. The way you show God how much you fear Him and love Him is by just being obedient to what He's telling you to do. If you don't know what that looks like or don't know what that is, you come. We'll pray for you that God would show up and show out in your life. We'll pray for you. And some of the rest of us in here, you need to be saved. You need to become a Christian. There's been no real spiritual change in your life since you claimed to have met Him. Oh, and your name may be on some church roll. Maybe you've even been baptized or joined 3 or 4 churches. But there's been no power evident in your life. Well, we can share with you how to truly be born again today. Now, don't sit there in these chairs today and say, well, I wish so-and-so was here to hear this. What's God saying to you? What's He saying to you? I know what He said to me. And so you've got an opportunity right now to say, yes, Lord. Let's all stand. Brother Andrew's going to lead us in a great hymn of response.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.